Going to read Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Let's pray together. Loving Father God, we thank you for all your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for this time that we've been able to share this morning so far. We've been able to focus on how great you are and how blessed we are. We've met as a family around the communion table to again remember all that you've done for us and to thank you and praise you for that. And as a family this morning, we just want to bring our various brothers and sisters to you who unknown to you, perhaps not known to us in their struggles that they're currently having, but we know that there are people within our family here who are having a tough time, maybe with their health, maybe with family health, maybe with family problems. You know, Father God. And as a family, we want to surround them with our love and prayers. And where we can help in practical ways, will you guide us and give us the desire to just be there for them. We thank you that as part of a family, we can really love each other and care for each other and share our good times and our bad times together. And we thank you that you understand and you know each person's heart here today and just what each of us needs. And now as Jason comes to speak, we do pray that you will give him words from yourself that will be a challenge to our hearts and that will enable us to think a lot more about your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Kay. I wonder, have you heard this song before? Let's have a listen to it. I love that song. Who's never heard of that song before? Okay. You're unusual. You clearly don't listen to Life FM as well. They seem to play that a lot. But here's the lyric for the chorus. Lately, I have been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. The person who wrote this song, his name is Ryan Tedder, he's from One Republic. And it's such an interesting video to watch. I think it was the first music video to hit 1 billion views. So it's now up to 2.5 billion views. But it's such an interesting, because in the video, the band's playing downstairs of a dilapidated church. Upstairs, there's a bunch of Pentecostals, revival meeting, praying. And anyway, Watch it and make of it what you will. But when he was explaining his lyric, he talked about this song is about laying in bed awake at night when you're stressed out of your mind, thinking, how are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to pay the bills? You know, all those things you want to do with your life, how are we going to make them work? The goners are him, by the way. Going to make them work? How's this actually going to happen or come to pass? I thought, I can't wait until I'm counting stars and not counting dollars anymore. Things will be so much better. Talking about being anxious, lying in bed at night, worrying, paying the bills, what you're going to do with your life, where's it all going? And I feel like Ryan Tedder had a great insight into Abraham's life. Don't you? I think Abraham was probably lying in bed at night wondering where all of this was going. Wondering where the promises of God were going to eventuate, how they were going to eventuate. God in Genesis 12 made promises to this man, Abram, and he said to him, I want to leave your land, your people, and your gods, and I will give to you, descendants, land and a special relationship with me as your God. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great and you'll be blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So by Genesis chapter 12, how much of those promises have eventuated? Well, one. He's got a special relationship with God. He's not seeing much of the blessing and the curses yet. But Abraham, I think, is anxious about where is this going. And it's probably some time in the wee hours of the morning that he gets a vision from God, where God says to him in verse 1 of what we've just read, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward. Abraham has no child, he has no land, he's worried, and God comes to him and he takes him outside and he says, look up at the sky and count the stars if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham's response to this was, he believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Think of the faith that's required for Abram. He's elderly. His wife is elderly. The promise was made to Abram when he was 75 years old, just a whippersnapper. So this is a physical impossibility of having children, but it's also a point of pain and bitterness, isn't it? Sarah, it is said, is barren. And this would have been a deep, unrealized desire in her at the very least. Because Abraham could have had children with other people, couldn't he, given that he owned slaves? So it would have been her bitterness. And God takes Abraham out of the tent and says to him, look at those stars. He teaches him to count stars in an area of anxiety, doubt and impossibility. And the thing that amazes me about Abraham, he has no children, he has no hope of having any through Sarah, yet he believes God that he could make his offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky. Which is why God then, it says, goes on to make a formal relationship with Abraham. I think this thing about counting stars could have become for Abraham a reminder of God's faithfulness to keep his promises. Go count the stars. The problem with promises is they are risky. Hope is a risky desire. Have you noticed that? Because when you hope or when you get promises, you wonder if they'll be realized. The trouble that Ryan Tedder names when he says, I've been losing sleep dreaming about the things that we could be. It's the dreams that keep him awake, not just the bills. He wonders whether he could be what these dreams are. It causes him anxiety and worry. So he says, I want to stop thinking about the worry and I want to start getting outside and looking up and counting the stars. I don't know, does anyone know? I don't know if Ryan Tedder is a Christian, but he's picked up on a powerful metaphor that comes straight out of this story in Genesis 15. Imagine yourself in Abraham's situation. You're in a small unit. And God says to you, move out of that unit because I have a brand new house for you that is completely free. You go, okay, well, I'll move out of the unit, and you go and find some other place to rent on the way through. And then God says, oh, I just need to tell you that you'll get this house in 400 years. That's the timeline that God was working on when he made a promise to Abraham for him to get land. How long did Abraham have to wait for a child? The promise is made at 75 years of age. He was only 100 when the child finally came. That's 25 long years. Turns out when God makes promises, he's under no obligation to work on your timeline. You could get that house sometime in the next 25 years or maybe the next 400. He works out his promises in however he wants. That delay is not unique to Abraham. The delay between a promise and its reality is not just what Abraham experienced. Think of David. David was anointed to be king of Israel. Anyone know how long he had to wait? 15 years. 15 years between the promise and the reality. And what happens on the way through between the promise and the reality is that he's running for his life. But then there's us as Christians, followers of Jesus. When Jesus ascended to heaven, as we read in Acts chapter 1, he promises he's going to return. The early church thought that that would be pretty quick. If you read Thessalonians, the Thessalonian church thought it was so quick they couldn't figure out why you'd bother working. Because Jesus is returning, so why bother working? It's all a waste of time. Well, here we are, 2,000 years later, still waiting. Peter talks a bit about this, saying, well, you know, in God's time, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. 2,000 years, well, by God's time, it's not that long at all. But we are still waiting 2,000 years for the return of Christ, a sure and certain promise. And there's a risk in every promise, especially when the timeline is so uncertain, is you don't know when it's happening and you doubt. You doubt. See, we are terrible, aren't we, at waiting? Aren't we? I mean, I have a Kindle. You know why I have a Kindle? Because I can get that book now. I love getting things now. If I see it, I get it. Maybe it's just men. It tends to be what men do, don't we? To see it, you get it. It's annoying at birthday time because you can't get the man anything because he's already got it. But we're in a time of instant gratification. We're terrible at waiting. We're impatient at the slightest delay. We wait for no one. Yet God gives us promises that will require us to wait. We're going to have to wait. Because he teaches us in the waiting. Have you noticed this? He teaches us to not focus on what we're expecting, but to focus on our relationship with him. That's what waiting does, is it slows us down and it makes us pay attention to what we have now. Have you ever seen this in parents, where they're always talking about the next thing their child has to do? So when they're pregnant, they're talking about their pregnancy plan and delivery plan. When they've delivered, they're talking about what kindergarten and then primary school they're going to. When they're in primary school, they're talking about what high school they go to. When they're in high school, they're talking about what university course they're going to do. When they're in university, they're talking about what partner they might be with. They're always in their expectations. And when you live like that, when you live in the next thing, what do you miss out on? Now. You miss out on all the promises of now. So contrast that kind of parenting with the parent who says, actually, I'm going to enjoy this moment now. I've got a little 6-month-year-old. I'll enjoy the 6-month-year-old. I'll enjoy the 8-year-old. I'll enjoy the 10-year-old. I'll enjoy... I'm just picking my kids' ages out. But when you say, well, you know all this stuff is coming, that's for sure. But when you start to live in this moment now, you enjoy it. And it has a lot of promise in it. And when God makes promises to us, we are so tempted, a bit like children with Christmas Day, to just want to unwrap that promise now. And yet God, more often than not, requires us to wait. Requires us to wait because waiting means we relate to God. I know that Abraham wrestled with this. He's given a promise. He's waited 10 years. So after 10 years of waiting, you would think God would come through. I'm certain Abraham and Sarah were practicing for making children. And in 10 years, none of that practice had come good. So after 10 years, Abraham thinks, Sarah makes a suggestion, maybe you could take my slave and have a child with her, Hagar. So he does. That child's name's Ishmael. How's that turned out? He tries to seize what God has promised. It's the right promise. You'll have a child, but he tries to seize it on his own terms rather than submit to God and wait for God's timing. And Abraham had to learn the hard way that you wait for God. You don't rush him. He needed to learn to count the stars. Remember God's faithful and that his promises are sure and God knows where he's going. And all that Abraham had to keep doing was believe, keep trusting, keep focusing on his relationship with God. Abraham needed to be patient with his expectations and to trust God. Think about us. I mean, most of us live with dreams and hopes and a sense of promise. Most of us. I mean, I see it on journals. I went to buy some stationery the other day and it says, dream big. And again, I want to be annoying and say, why? Most of us aren't going to be famous people. Most of us are going to be ordinary. But it says dream big, and most of us dream and hope, even if it's not about dynasties and promised lands or kingdoms. And then we live with sometimes not seeing those things realized. What do you do then? You push closer into God. You trust him. You look up at the stars and start counting them and remind yourself, Abraham waited 25 years. And now look at those stars. So shall his offspring be. You know, we don't have promises probably quite like Abraham's. But God's given us great promises in Jesus. We've been justified by faith. We are new creations. That he's for us, not against us. That he will not leave us as orphans. We can keep going. God has so many rich promises for us. And some of us live feeling like that is a long, long way from us. That we feel like orphans. We feel like we're still sinners. We feel like we're old creations. That we feel like that God is not for us. What do? You press into God. You wait. You wait by waiting in his word. You wait by waiting in prayer. You wait by being in communion with brothers and sisters. You wait. And you believe God. See, what God was impressed about with Abraham was that he took him at his word. He made a promise. There's no reality here. He just says, look up and see those stars. So shall your offspring be. And Abraham, it says, believed God. Abraham only needed God to say it and he would believe it. Even though at this point he's not seen anything yet. That's what impressed God, that Abraham believed God's promises. God's always impressed with that kind of faith. We make sacrifices of time and effort, service. They don't impress God if they're not motivated by faith. And in fact, it's the faith that impresses God, that delights him. For Abraham, it says here, it was credited to him as righteousness. In all that we're challenged by, what do we believe in? What will we hold on to? In all our worries and fears, with our dreams and hopes, what are we going to cling to? Who do we go close to? Well, maybe we should count stars. Reminding ourselves of the God who makes a promise. Takes an awful long time sometimes to come through on it. But he comes through. This God is faithful. He will keep his promises. And they're more numerous than the stars. Let me pray. Our God, it is a dangerous thing to be expectant. Yet you are constantly birthing in us expectation. When we first come to you in faith, we come with our brokenness and our sin, and you say to us even there, I can take your brokenness and your sin and your shame and turn it around to beauty, to forgiveness, to belonging to me. That's where we began. You birthed in us an expectation for something better. And then these promises flow on and on and on. You promise that we will not be alone. You promise that you're for us, that nothing can be against us. So God, you put in us expectation. But sometimes we notice you delay realization of these things. Because you want us to come close to you. I pray, our God, in a year full of expectation, this is all we have at this point of the year, is we are full of imagination and expectation, that what we will do as we walk this year is we'll draw close to you. Because some things will go just as we hoped, and other things will be delayed, and then some things will look like they've gone completely and utterly south. So may we draw close to you, whichever way it goes. May we believe you at your word. May we grow in confidence that you are faithful. That you'll come through. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.